Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Rolene marks the final Israel report of the week. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. And you still feeling all the love and good vibes from yesterday? What a day.
Well, I actually went and I read Ruby Rivlin's letter of wishes to Buzi Herzog. And I must tell you, I found that a very moving letter, Rolene.
It was beautiful. It's published in the JNS.com today. Written with such tenderness, it's actually JNS.org, my apologies, but written with such tenderness, he's left a letter for our new president, President Herzog, just saying that, you know, you're going to meet so many people from different walks of life, and there will be things that will keep you up at night, and describing the kind of impact that it will have on him. Now, President Herzog's no stranger to meeting lots of interesting people. He's somebody who was chairman of the opposition, also of the Labour Party. Can't forget him taking Jeremy Corbyn, who was the head of the Labour Party in the UK, to task. Also, as the head of the Jewish Agency, he's met many, many people. But a magnificent article from Reuven Rivlin describing some of the people, some of the experiences from his 7 years as the president of the country, saying how, you know, he still loses sleep over the soldiers that fell and whose remains are being held in Gaza, how he wonders how the little girl whose father was a Druze policeman who was killed, you know, trying to protect students at a yeshiva during a terror attack, how she is doing. She's starting school. You know, he speaks about the lone soldiers he's met, the Olim that he's met. He's spoken about people suffering from PTSD, needing help from depression. A real cross look at society in Israel, the Haredi, the Arabs, the secular, the religious, everybody. And he writes this in this beautiful, beautiful letter saying, I actually envy you because you're going to meet the most magnificent people in the next 7 years.
Yeah, that's how I responded reading to that. I thought that was a love letter to Israel, really. It was a very beautiful piece of writing. But let's get on to news. UN resolution linking anti-Semitism with terrorism praised. I haven't seen this. Tell me about this.
Well, isn't it amazing that a UN resolution which actually does get the issue or does get the kavod from Israel just doesn't get mentioned? But yesterday, addressing the UN General Assembly, our ambassador to the United Nations, Gilad Erdan, spoke about what Israelis have endured when it comes to having to run to shelters. This is something we had to do, myself included, just 2 months ago. And he spoke about Hamas's use of human shields, which is something that's not just unique to Hamas. Other terror entities, and not just in the Gaza Strip as well, use this kind of tactic. And yesterday, the UNGA adopted a resolution by consensus for the first time that explicitly links anti-Semitism with terrorism. It also condemns the use of human shields. So this is a resolution as part of the global counter-terrorism strategy. It's a resolution that comes up every second year. And as part of this, Gilad Erdan, Ambassador Erdan, put forward the issue of human shields. So not only was that adopted, but in his speech he said, we have all witnessed anti-Semitic attacks against Jewish communities around the world, including here in the streets of New York in recent weeks. It is critical that the international community take a clear stance against these attacks and develop additional tools to combat such appalling assaults against Jewish and other groups. A very, very important statement from the ambassador, because he's not just talking about the situation for Israelis, what we live as and what we endure when we are attacked by terror entities in our region, but he's also talking about our concern for diaspora communities, and that we see in Israel that anti-Semitism very much can be linked to terrorism. It's a different kind of terrorism, but you can still draw a correlation, and he doesn't forget to speak about other minority groups. And often we find that the narrative or the experience of Jews is often gaslit when we are talking about our experience as a persecuted minority for a variety of reasons, and we don't have the time to get into it here. But the situation that we are enduring is not taken or not put on the agenda as much as it should be.
That kind of nicely leads to the second subject of the afternoon, which is Israeli diplomats telling a Polish Senate committee that restitution is in fact a matter of dignity.
Well, this is the very controversial issue that we spoke about last week, which was the proposed law that was put forward to the Polish parliament, which says that, or it closes off any kind of restitution claims that Holocaust survivors could make against the state. And this is a proposal that led to a war of words between Israel and Poland. Our respective ambassadors, or in the our case in Poland, our chargé d'affaires, been summoned to their Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Israel summoning the Polish ambassador to our Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Yair Lapid, our foreign minister, taking a very, very firm stance, breaking almost with Israeli policy, you know, criticizing a country that we do have very good bilateral ties with. But today, our chargé d'affaires, Tal Ben-Ari, went to the Senate committee hearing on this proposal, and he, going along with him was a Holocaust survivor. And her words really sent chills down my spine, because, you know, he spoke, he said, you know, Poland was the home, and some survivors of the Holocaust are still citizens of the country. This is from Ben-Ari alone. He says, Poland was their home. It was that for centuries, and they prospered as the largest Jewish community of the world. The Holocaust robbed them of everything. And therefore, the question of their ownership is a question of dignity, justice, and memory. Note, he doesn't say the question of reparations, paying money. And as Lapid said, this is not about money. This is about dignity. This is about acknowledging what happened. This is about acknowledging the suffering and the persecution of Polish Jews during the Shoah. Now, the Holocaust survivor, she got to speak. She said that the property was first stolen by the Nazis and nationalized by the communists. And she says this is very important. And this, I think, we can attribute to anything when it comes to talking about Shoah history. She says, listen to the voice from the Jewish world. Listen to the voice of the Jewish state. Listen to the pain this legislation is causing. Listen to the voice of the survivors. They are telling you to reconsider this legislation. It is not too late.
Wow, powerful stuff, Rolene. Wow, okay. Kind of need a moment there, but let's move on to Israel inviting the Moroccan foreign minister for a first visit. Was this the guy who had lots of harsh things to say during the Gaza operation?
Well, he did have some very strong things to say. This is Moroccan Foreign Minister Nasser Bourita. If he does accept the invitation, he will be the first ever Moroccan Foreign Minister to visit Israel. And we want him to come specifically for Wednesday, because there's a high-level U.S. congressional delegation that is in Jerusalem. You know, yesterday we spoke about one of the priorities of our new government, was now a month old, being to repair or to rebuild those ties between Israel and the Democratic Caucus within the U.S. government. And I think that this is not only just to cement our accords, our Abraham Accords, but also to show the democratic representatives that are part of this bilateral delegation, you know, just what the fruits of talking of peace accords, what they look like, and that even though we can disagree on certain points, you know, peace and normalization should trump that. No pun intended.
Ro, and we are kind of out of time, but in 1 minute, I see you've had two COVID deaths in the last 24 hours.
We have had COVID deaths. We do have to remember that our, while our numbers are high, our serious cases are low. We're still not at a stage where we have to panic just yet. But this is the first time in over 2 weeks. One was an unvaccinated 48-year-old man. So I think we also have to be very clear about that. He was not vaccinated. And the other was a man in his 80s, vaccinated, but with serious comorbidities.
Rolene Marks, thank you for being with me Monday through Thursday this week. Much appreciated. And you'll be back and do it again with me next week.
Wild horses couldn't keep me away.
Thank
not even
you.
Tame ones either.
All right. Cheers, Rolene, while she goes and does her abs and rides horses and whatever else that she does.